Now, I just want to read a few verses tonight in the Gospel of John. If you have a Bible, you can follow the reading. If you don't have a Bible, don't be concerned, because I'll make the reading as clear as I possibly can. But there's John chapter 5, the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, and we're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. Of course, the Gospels would give to us the life of the Lord Jesus. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and these four Gospel writers all give a slightly different slant to the life of the Lord Jesus. So we're reading from John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. That was a religious feast that was held up in the temple, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, lame, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case or in that condition, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now that's all we'll read, and we look to God to bless the reading and to help us in the preaching again tonight. Now, as you know, those that have been here in the past know that we've been looking at some of the questions that we find in the Bible. We looked at a lot of questions that we find in the book of Job in the Old Testament. And then we looked at a very important question from the end of Matthew's Gospel last night. Yesterday, of course, was Easter Sunday. And, you know, at Easter time, we focus our attention around the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the question that we looked at last night, it came from that part of the Gospel record. Just prior to the death of the Lord Jesus, he was standing before a man called Pilate. Pilate was the Roman judge, the Roman governor of Palestine. And Pilate really had a responsibility to make a decision that day about the Lord Jesus. The religious people had sent the Lord Jesus up to Pilate, and they said to Pilate, listen, this man must die. And they wanted Pilate to pass the death sentence on Jesus. And Pilate knew that the Lord Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. He knew that there was no fault in him. He knew there was no reason why he should die, that he'd never broken the law. But the crowd are crying in Pilate's ear, away with him, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate was in a dilemma. And Pilate knew that he was going to have to make a decision about Jesus. And he says to the crowd, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And that was the question that we looked at last night. And we took that little question and we applied it to everyone that was in the audience last night. What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You know, we noticed that the destiny of Pilate for eternity, where he was going to spend eternity, was going to be determined by the decision he made in relation to the Lord Jesus. I know the place that you're going to be in eternity is also going to be determined by the decision that you make about the Lord Jesus. So the question I bring to you tonight, before we look at John chapter 5, is simply this. What are you going to do with Jesus? There's only two things we can do with Jesus. We can either reject him or we can receive him. We can either say no to Jesus or yes to Jesus. But remember, the decision you make concerning the Lord Jesus is going to affect not only the rest of your life down here, but it's going to affect where you're going to be forever. The tragedy about Pilate was this, that Pilate knew the right thing to do, but just didn't have the courage to do it. He knew the right thing to do was to take sides with the Lord Jesus, to receive him, to make him Lord of his life. The right thing to do was to follow the Lord Jesus. Pilate knew that was right, but he didn't have the courage to do it. And you know, in the course of my life in ministry, I've met many people and they knew the right thing to do. but they didn't have the courage to do it. I wonder if there's someone here tonight, and that's just exactly where you are in your experience. You know the right thing to do is to trust the Lord Jesus. You know the right thing to do is to allow Him to come into your life, to cleanse you from your sins, to be your Saviour and your Lord. You know the right thing to do is to follow the Lord Jesus, but you don't have the courage to do it. The tragedy is simply this concerning Pilate, that Pilate rejected the Lord Jesus Christ because he wanted to maintain his popularity. He wanted to hold on to his power. Didn't want to lose his job. But history tells us that 7 years later he did lose his job. And such was his distress and his anguish of soul that he committed suicide. And the minute he closed his eyes in death, he plunged into a lost eternity because he made a wrong decision about Jesus. How tragic, how sad. That he knew the right thing to do, but just didn't have the courage to do it. And tonight he's lost and lost. My friend, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you receive Him tonight as your Saviour and Lord? That's what He longs for you to do. He longs for you just to receive Him by faith and to acknowledge Him as Lord of your life. He's worthy of that. What will you do with Him tonight? Will you receive Him or will you reject Him? But the story that we read took place before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, obviously. And He's at a pool. And in that, around that pool there is a whole crowd of impotent people. People that were powerless, people that were weak, people that were infirm, people that were ill, people that were wounded, were diseased, and they're all around that pool, the offcasts of society. And the Lord Jesus is there. And the Lord Jesus singles out one particular individual and he says to him, "Will you be made whole? Do you want to be made better? Do you want to be cured?" Oh, what a question to ask him, eh? The Bible tells us this man had been in this condition for 38 years. 38 years lying at a poolside, surrounded by all these people that were diseased and dying. The Lord Jesus says, "Listen, do you want to be made better? Do you want to be made whole?" Simple question, eh? An obvious question. But that's the question I want to bring to your heart tonight. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be cured? Do you want to be healed of your disease? But of course, in the context of our meeting tonight, we're thinking not so much about these physical diseases that we have. We're thinking of the spiritual disease that we have. And we've mentioned in previous nights that every one of us have got a spiritual disease that's eating away within us. It's called sin. Every child has it. We're born with it. It manifests itself more and more as we get older. Sin. It's a disease. The Lord Jesus is saying to us tonight, "Do you want to be made better? Do you want to be cured? Do you want to be saved?" And that's really the question I want to bring before you tonight. And that's the question I want to underline right at the start of the meeting. Just want to look at your faces tonight and ask you the question, "Do you want to be saved?" That's what the Lord's asking. The youngest to the older, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved tonight? If you want to be saved tonight, I'm glad to tell you there's a Saviour that wants to save you. There's one that wants to meet you in all your need tonight. He's available for you. He's passing by. Just as he passed through the crowd at the pool of Bethesda, he's passing by and you come up tonight and he's saying, do you want to be saved? And he makes himself available to me to save everyone that will simply put their trust in him. But let's look at the story. The Lord Jesus went up to Jerusalem because it was the feast day. And Jerusalem was the city of God. It was a place where the house of God, the temple of God was. And at this particular time of the year, there was a great religious feast, a great religious ceremony was taking place. And the Lord Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And you can think of all the activity that was taking place around the temple. All the religious people were there. All the self-righteous people were there. The priests and the Levites, and there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and there was scribes, and there's all these different classes of religious people. And there they were. They were all up at the temple and were all enjoying their great big feast. but just a short distance away. There was a pool, the pool of Bethesda, and around that pool there were five arches, and underneath these arches there was this great multitude of poor, broken, wounded, infirmed, sick, unhealthy people. On the one hand, all these people, and they're engaged in the religious festival and their feast days and all the rest of it, they're going through all the religious rituals, and you're just a short distance away. There's this great multitude of people. They're diseased and they're dying. You see, my friend, what we see in the Pool of Bethesda is just a little microcosm of human society. It's just a little picture of the human mankind and all their need, and all their sorrow, and all their brokenness, and all their disease and infirmity. And the tragedy is this, that religion, man-made, organized religion, can never really meet the need of broken humanity. It doesn't matter whether it's a Western religion, or an Eastern religion, or a Mid-Eastern religion. Religion in itself can never meet the need of broken humanity. So when the Lord Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he bypasses the feast. Oh, he doesn't make his way to the temple. He doesn't get involved in all the revelings and all the rituals that are taking place among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He bypasses it all. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is here to meet human need. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to reach men at the bottom rung of the ladder. He's come to meet them just where they are in all their desperate plight. And the Lord Jesus bypasses the temple and he makes his way to the pool. Makes his way to the pool. And if religion can't meet the need of the people at the pool, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ can. My friend, if religion can't meet your need tonight, I want to tell you, Christ can meet it. It doesn't matter what your need is. It doesn't matter how broken your life is. It doesn't matter how sad. It doesn't matter how blighted by sin, how ruined, how wrecked, how twisted it is. My friend, the Lord Jesus can meet your need tonight, and he's available, and he's asking the question, listen, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be changed? Do you want your life transformed? Do you want to have a new life, a new power? And the Lord Jesus comes to the pool, and you think of what he saw. A great multitude of powerless people, weak people, blind, lame, withered. That's just like a little picture of society, isn't it? People that are weak, people that are powerless, people that have got no strength. The Bible says that's really what we're all like. Oh, I know we've got strength and we've got power to do a lot of things that we want to do, but you know, when it comes to dealing with the great problems of our soul, when it comes to dealing with the problem of our sin, we're totally weak, we're totally powerless. There's not a single one of us can do anything to get rid of the of sin in our life. There's nothing we can do to break the power of sin in our life. We're weak, we're powerless. Maybe you've discovered that in your life. Because you don't need me to tell you you're a sinner. You don't need me to tell you that you practice sin every day that you live. You know that, instinctively you know that. Maybe there's times when you've tried to break the power of sin in your life. And these sinful thoughts that you have, you've tried to stop having them, and it's impossible. The more you try to stop them coming into your mind, the more they flood into your mind. Those sinful habits that you indulge in. It doesn't matter how much resolve you build up, and it doesn't matter what strength you seem to muster, you just can't break the sinful habit. They've got a hold of you, and you're powerless against it, against the power of sin and Satan. You're powerless, you're weak. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that wonderful, eh? You see, the Lord Jesus knows how weak we are. He knows how powerless we are. He knows that we're captured by our sin, that we're enslaved by sin. And he says, listen, I know your weakness, but I'll come. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die for our sins in Calvary, to die on our behalf. And when a person trusts in the Lord Jesus, then all his power becomes available so that the chains of sin are snapped. And the dominion of sin is broken and we're set free. Maybe you're here tonight and you're conscious of your weakness. You're impotent, you're powerless, you've got no strength. The Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, would you like to be made whole?
Would you like to be cured? Would you like to have strength? Would you like to have power over sin in your life? Listen, trust in me. Trust in me. There were those that were blind. Those that were just groping around in the dark. To these individuals, life was just one sort of misty haze, and they just didn't know where they were going, and they were groping day by day. Horrible position to be in, isn't it? To be blind. To be conscious of a world, an environment round about you, but to be unable to appreciate it, to be unable to enter into it in its fullness because of the darkness over the eyes. Maybe that's just exactly how you feel spiritually tonight. You just feel as if you're in the dark. You're blind. You've been coming to these meetings and you've been listening and you've been understanding, but yet you haven't been able to see, and the message is just so unclear, it's so misty. And you just seem to be in the dark. And you know that there's a reality about the message. You know it's what you need for your life, but there's still just a haze over your eyes, and you just can't see the truth in all its fullness, and you can't apprehend it because you're in the dark. The Bible says the God of this world, that is Satan, he's blinded the minds of those who believe not. Because the last thing Satan wants is for the light of the truth of the gospel to shine into people's hearts. The last thing Satan wants is for folks to get saved, and so he pulls the shutters down over their eyes and he keeps them in darkness. But praise God, the Lord Jesus is the one that is able to deliver us out of darkness. He's able to translate us into his own kingdom, the kingdom of light and love and liberty. To those that are blind tonight, the Lord Jesus says, listen, would you like to be made whole? Would you like to see? Would you like to be saved? No, the Lord Jesus is asking tonight is for you to trust in him. We'll see in a minute that is all that this man did. 38 years he'd lain in that desperate condition, and his life was transformed in a moment when he simply put his trust in the Lord Jesus. And your life can be changed in a moment tonight if you'll just trust in him. There were those that were lame, those that were crippled, those who were crooked, those that just couldn't walk right. Is that not just a picture of men and women in our society today? They just can't walk right. They can't walk in a manner as to please God because of that principle of sin that's in their life. The Bible says that men go astray from the very moment that they're born. They start wandering because of sin. They're lame, they're crippled, they're crooked because of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ can heal. The Lord Jesus Christ can straighten out our walk. He can give us the power to walk a life that is pleasing to God, a life that is honouring to God, a life that is lived in the service of God. The Lord Jesus can give us that power. To those that are powerless, to those that are blind, to those that are lame, to those that are withered, the Lord Jesus says, listen, will you be made whole? Do you want to be cured? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? The Lord Jesus makes his way and he sees this vast multitude of people, and then he singles out one man. A man that had been 38 years in the condition that he was in. He was paralyzed. 38 years, a long time, isn't it? And it says that Jesus saw him. Jesus knew. Isn't that lovely that the Lord Jesus Christ took time for an individual? Yeah, I was reading a wee sort of daily devotional book just last week, and it said about this woman who had a friend who was a senator in the United States of America, and she said, I'd like to introduce a friend to you. And he says, I no longer have time for individuals. You see, he got a bit above himself, and you know, he was looking after the affairs of state, and he didn't have time for individuals anymore. Praise God, my God still got time for individuals. The God that looks after all the affairs of the universe, praise God, he still got time for me, and he still got time for you. Doesn't matter who you are. Maybe you feel as if nobody's got any time for you. Nobody ever comes knocking on your door. Nobody ever just comes to sit down and have a cup of tea. Nobody comes to you. You're just a number. You're just a nothing in society. My friend, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus sees you. Just where you are, He sees you. He saw this man, 38 years. This man had nobody else in the whole wide world. There was nobody cared for him. There was nobody had any time for him. There was no one interested. But the Lord Jesus was interested in him. And He saw him. Isn't it wonderful to think that the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, He looks down tonight and He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. Doesn't He see you as part of a crowd tonight? Doesn't He see you as part of this great big society? Doesn't He see you even as part of your family? He sees you as an individual. He's interested in you. And He not only saw him, but He knew him. Knew all about him. Knew all about the problems in his life. Knew about his heartaches. Knew about his brokenness. Knew about his sorrows. Knew about the sadnesses. Knew everything the man had passed through in the whole course of his life. He knew what effects that this disease had had in his experience. He knew. The Lord knows about you, Timmy. There's nothing that He doesn't know about you. He knows all your heartaches. He knows your sorrows. He knows the times when your heart's been breaking. He knows the tears that you've shed. He knows the times when you've been at your wit's end. He knows when you've almost been at the point of giving up in life. He knows the struggles that you have. He knows the sorrows that you bear. He knows everything. He knows the grip that sin has in your life. He knows the habits that you can't break. He knows the things that you can't deal with. He knows the defiling effect that sin has had on your mind and your heart and your whole being. He knows it all. And yet He still cares. He still cares. And here was this man. Don't know when he last had the experience of someone speak to him. He was just part of a multitude. Lying there day after day after day. Nobody interested. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted him. People didn't care whether he lived or died. And suddenly the Lord Jesus stops. The Lord Jesus speaks. The Lord Jesus Christ just wants to stop beside you tonight. He wants to speak to you tonight. The Lord Jesus looked at him and says, "Listen, sir, would you like to be made better? Would you like to be made better? Would you like to be cured? Would you like to be delivered from that disease? Would you like a new life?" So the Lord's saying to you tonight, as He passes by, as He stops beside you, "Listen, sir. Listen, woman. Would you like to be made better? Would you like to be delivered from these chains that bind you? Would you like to be cleansed from your sin? Would you like a new life? Would you like peace? Would you like joy? Would you like a life of satisfaction? Would you like power in your experience? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to have life in all its abundance?" That's what the Lord's asking you tonight. You might have thought, well, that was a kind of strange question. He asked the man, "Would you like to be made better?" Surely it was obvious that anybody in the condition that he was in would want to be made better. Well, no necessary. I've discovered a lot of people are just quite happy the way they are. A lot of people are just quite happy in their sins. And they think because they're not as bad as the next person and they're a whole lot better than a lot of other people, they think everything's okay and they don't really need the Lord and they don't want the Lord. They're quite happy just the way they are, just to wallow in their own sin. The Lord Jesus says, "Listen, do you want to be made better? Or are you quite happy the way you are? What about you tonight? Do you want to be saved? Or are you just happy the way you are? Are you just content with your sin? You just want to continue in your sin? Or you just want at the end of the day to experience the consequences of sin? Or do you want to be saved tonight? Do you want to be saved?" You see, Why are you here tonight? Have you come tonight just for companionship? I know that's why some people come to meetings. They come to meetings just for companionship. Have you come out of curiosity? Have you come just to please the person that asked you? But I wonder, have you come tonight because you want to get saved? You want to meet the Lord? You want to experience His touch in your life, and His power, His grace? The Lord Jesus says, listen, do you want to be made whole? I think the Lord was really just trying to bring out a confession of need from his heart. He says, Lord, he says, I've got no man. Sorry, he says, I've got no man. Well, I would love to be saved. I would love to be helped. I would love to be healed, but I've got nobody. I can't heal myself, and there's no one else can heal me. I've got nobody. My plight is desperate. It's helpless. Hopeless. Maybe that's how you feel tonight. Deep down, you would love to be saved. You would love to have a better life. But you think, how can it ever take place? I can't help myself. I've tried. Other people have tried to speak to me, and they've tried to teach me, and they've tried to help me, but everything just fails. The Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight, listen, do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to be saved? All the Lord is asking you to do tonight is just to confess your absolute weakness. Just to confess your powerlessness. And He's asking you tonight just to trust Him. The Lord Jesus looked at the man, He says, listen, He says, rise. Take up your bed and walk. Just rise. You want to be made whole, then rise. Take up your bed and walk. Impossible. Oh, impossible with every other man, but no impossible with this man. What the Lord Jesus was really saying to the man, listen, if you really want to be made whole, then just you trust me. Just put your faith in me. Just you do what I ask you to do. And you'll experience new power, and you'll experience new life. Just trust me. I wonder, are you prepared tonight just to trust the Lord? That's all He's asking you to do. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want that new life? Do you want power to live for God tonight? You'll never find it within yourself. The Lord Jesus says, trust in me. Bible says the man just rose up, and he lifted up his bed, and he walked. What an experience. What a tremendous experience. Just in a split second, his life was changed forever. He would never be the same again. He had a power for living a new life. How did he get it? Faith. That was all. Nothing more, nothing less than faith. Just faith in Christ. He just believed in Christ. He just believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do what He was asking Him to do. Seemed impossible. Seemed absurd. Seemed illogical. Seemed irrational. The man hadn't moved for 38 years, and the Lord Jesus says, listen, if you want to be made whole, then just rise and take up your bed and walk. And the man just put his faith in Christ. And he did it. Do you want to be saved, guy? Do you want to have that new life? With all its abundance, with all its fullness of joy and peace. Do you want that new life? Then just you believe, guy. Just believe on the Lord Jesus. Just trust in Him. He's able. He's promised that He'll give you if you believe. What is faith? Well, faith has got five little letters, hasn't it? F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's what faith means. forsaking everything else, we just trust Him. He wants to save you tonight. He's got the ability to save him. The only thing that's stopping him saving you is your lack of faith. But the minute you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, the minute you trust Him, Jesus, I will trust you. Trust you with my soul. I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I'm helpless, but you can make me whole. And the minute you trust in Him, He'll save you. He'll save you. The very minute you trust and obey. Do you want to be saved tonight? Trust and obey. Just as a brother, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That's all He's asking you. He's just asking you to believe. He's just asking you to trust in Him. I noticed that the difference was seen in a changed life. The reality of what took place that moment was seen in a changed life. That man was never the same again. Never the same again. Never went back to the things that he did. Never went back to the place that he'd come from. He was changed. Christ had changed him. He'd made him whole. He cleansed him. He delivered him. He'd saved him. My friend, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I tell you, you'll never be the same again. He'll change you. If any man is in Christ, says Paul to the Corinthians, he is a new creation, and the old things are passed away, and all things become new. Oh, my friend, what a blessed experience when we trust in the Lord Jesus. He changes us. He changes us. And we're never the same again. The evidence of the work that He does in our life when we trust Him is seen in the new life that we live before men. You'd have thought everyone would be happier. But you know, everybody wasn't happy. These people that were up there at the temple and with all the religious rites and the festivals, they weren't very happy. Because they suddenly realised here was somebody that could do something that they couldn't do, and they were angry. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and I'm not going to tell you you're going to have an easy life. I tell you you'll have a better life, but it might not be an easy life. You might discover there are those that would oppose you. There might be those that would persecute you. There might be those that would mock you. There might be those that would try to trip you up. There might be those that would come down, down on you. But my friend, I want to tell you, you trust the Lord Jesus and you'll discover that He's not a disappointment. You trust Him and He'll not only save you tonight, but my friend, He'll keep you. He'll keep you through thick and thin until ultimately He'll take you into the very courts of His Father's house in heaven. And the wee question tonight is simply this. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be saved tonight? Is that why you've come? Have you really come with a burden in your heart tonight? A real longing to be saved? Then the Lord Jesus is available to save you. And all He's asking you to do is just to trust Him. Will you trust Him tonight? Will you just take the Lord Jesus as His word? Because He says, whosoever believes in Me will never perish but have everlasting life. He's saying, listen, just believe. Just trust in Me and I'll save you. And I'll keep you. And keep you forever. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, again, we just thank Thee for the simplicity of the gospel. Simple, O God, to those of us who have believed, but we're conscious that to those who are still unbelievers, it's just sometimes difficult to comprehend just how simple it is. And sometimes, O God, the devil would try to impress upon our minds that there must be more to it than that. There must be something else. There must be another angle. But we just pray, O God, that people's eyes would be open tonight just to see the simplicity, that it's simple trusting in the Lord Jesus, that they can do nothing of their own strength to save themselves, because it's all been done by the Lord Jesus, and His power can become real and inactive in their life the moment they put their trust in Him. And we pray, our God, that someone tonight would simply come to the Lord Jesus, put their trust in Him, and know what it is to have the joy of salvation. We ask these things as we ask that You would watch over us as we go home tonight. Take us home in safety and bless the remainder of the meetings of this week, we pray, as we ask it in the Lord's name. Amen.